We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, welcome back. Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and Joe Shasky in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru is taking some time off, but he's healthy, I can confidently report. And it is time for a new segment called the Shasky Shuffle, where I turn it over to the one and only Joe Shasky.
Well, gentlemen, I think that most kids, when you're getting into loving sports, and for everyone it's a little different, but I think from our eras, one of the things that drew you to sports was collecting cards, right? I mean, I think we all tried to collect cards for our kids. And I would say that back in the day, and this is why I really don't like phones and Google and things like that. Google was your memory. You had to memorize off the back of a card or the sporting green or however you consumed your sports. And you'd have to remember little nuggets and fun facts about people. And me and my brother and my cousins and all my buddies, we used to collect cards all the time back in the day. And, you know, some of them would have fun facts about players. But more than anything, you'd remember, all right, he was born here. And, you know, he played here, here, and here. And, man, look at it, 1991. Look what he did there. I just love cards. Did you guys like cards growing up?
Yeah, I collected baseball cards. In fact, yeah, I blew it with my baseball cards. But go ahead, Monte.
No, I was going to say my Twitter profile pic for the longest time has been random basketball cards and football cards and baseball cards. And a true story, after the 89 earthquake, my elementary school, Gene Parker, we had to move to Garfield Elementary, which is right by our station, right there by Coy Tower. And I used to always bring my cards to school. I used to always brag about it. My whole allowance went to Walgreens and cards to get not only the stale piece of gum that came in the pack, but just to have all the cards in the plastics, because I wanted cards from every single team, every single sport. And true story, walking up that hill going to Garfield Elementary School, a very steep hill, my backpack was open, and I'm walking up the hill, and I look back, and there's a bunch of kids just scrambling, grabbing these cards. And it was all my cards. It fell out of my backpack. Somebody on the school bus, like, purposely, like, opened up my backpack because I was being a brat, bragging about the cards I had. And I remember I lost a slew of football cards, and people on the school bus on the way back home were saying, hey, Bonte, remember this card, this and this? But I ended up getting my cards back by just going back to Walgreens and buying them and recouping them. It took me a while, but big card collector, trading cards and would trade with people. I would manipulate people, Steiny and Shasky, doing like 5-for-1 deals, knowing that player was special. I would trade like, okay, here's a Reggie Roby punter, a Tony Zendejas to kick. Okay, let me give us some mediocre players, and I would trade for a really good card like a Dan Marino or a John Elway. I would snooker him with the quantity over quality.
Your boy got snookered. So when I was oh gosh, I must have been in 6th, 7th grade. I collected cards all over the, like, all kinds, baseball mostly. Yeah. But because we were friends of the Colavitos, he played in the major leagues. Like, I had all the cards that, like, they gave me, like their family, and they had so much. So I had an incredible collection. And so this was like in 6th or 7th grade. So over the course of my life, every time I've seen my mom, not every time, but a theme has always been, man, why didn't we keep those cards? Why didn't we keep those cards? What'd we ever do with those cards? I don't know. Where'd they go? I don't know. Boy, that. So I kid you not, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I go home, visit the family. And I go out to this Sunday night. It was like a dinner. It was at a church, but it was a, you know, it was like a pizza thing. It was like a carnival kind of. It was like a church carnival.
Pizza and pipes.
Yeah, exactly. I run into this guy, Andy Leib. Andy used to live a block away from me when I first grew up in this part of Berks County, Reading. And we moved out of the area when I was in ninth grade before my freshman year. So Andy Leib starts talking to me and we start talking about being friends. And I'm like, man, remember those I had the greatest baseball card collection of all time, man. I wish I would have kept that. He's like, dude, you gave them to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, dude, when you moved to Wyomissing in ninth grade, your family moved. I had them all. And I'm like, well, what'd you do with them? And he goes, I have no idea. I talk to my mom all the time. Where'd those cards get to?
Oh, that's great.
Andy Leib had my cards, but then he didn't do anything with them either, so. There you go. Yes, we all love cards.
I love that. Well, when I was a kid, my mom used to send us to the grocery store. So me and my brother, we had a BMX with the little pegs on the back. My little brother would hop on the back, and I'd ride the bicycle, and we felt
like we owned the neighborhood. Did you have a tennis ball on the rims?
No, I didn't have a tennis ball. My dad told us never to put the cards, though, in the rims because that's what he did when he was a kid. And that was kind of like the show status. So he'd have Willie McCovey, Willie Mays, and they would be in the spokes of the bike. But we didn't do that because he said he regretted it. So, you know, we tried to keep them fresh and clean. But what we did do is we'd run to the grocery store, Cordova, if we were going all the way down across Geneva, or we'd go to Frank's or some of these other little liquor stores and run errands. And we'd always try to get stuff that was on sale or that was a little cheaper so we could have an extra dollar or two to buy a pack of cards. Kind of like Steiny, one of my grandfather's neighbors was an older fellow, and he didn't have any grandkids or anything. And when he passed, he gave my grandfather all of these cards. So not only did me and my brother have a giant collection, we got an entire collection from this old guy, and I just went through them. I literally have over a million cards. We laid them out on the pool table one day. We tried to count out how many we have, and we guesstimated over a million cards. And that's not even a joke. I have two giant treasure chests filled with cards and tons of books, full stacks. So what I like to do is let's go down in the Wayback Machine, and I'm going to stick my hand in this pile of cards, and I'm just going to pull a name out. And I did this earlier this morning, but let's rummage again for everyone, and I'm going to pull the name out, and we're just going to kind of go around the room on who this individual is. And I'm trying to pick from a group of people that have some sort of Bay Area connection. So you guys ready? I'm rummaging. Let's do it. Let's do a little more rummaging.
Oh, my Lord.
Is that a cat?
I'm not a cat guy. I got dogs. I'm pulling out a 1993-94, and this is a good one, Upper Deck. Okay, they were new to the basketball thing. Warriors, number 6, Avery Johnson. Wow.
Oh, my. 1993-94,
Avery Johnson. He's kind of like the Terry Mulholland of the NBA. He had like 5 stints with the Spurs, 5 stints with the Warriors. He's one of those guys, he's like a cockroach. You could never kill him. I think we've got some sound, though, from 1993-94 with Avery Johnson on the Warriors.
Saves that loose ball. Avery Johnson sets it up. Warriors can come to within one or tie it here with a 3. Weber, plenty of time, 10 on the shot clock. Here's Sprewell, rejected. Sprewell, out to Johnson, here it is! 1-point game!
No fouls, you'll get it back if you clear the defensive rebound. They'll get it at half court, the Magic will, after the timeout.
Timeout, Magic. 30.4 seconds on the clock. Avery Johnson hits the 15 to 18 footer and puts the Warriors to within one.
Hey Jim.
On the 93-94 team. And by the way, my favorite part of that is Jim Barnett never changed. Just never changed. I mean, yeah. Just the best. Avery Johnson. Now, I remember Avery as a player, and Steiny, I know that you know Avery Johnson real well. I know Bonte remembers. Plucky little lefty. He was one of those old school dribble at the top of the key, wait for the play to set itself up. He had the very unique free throw style where the ball would be kind of clutched out in front of him. And he was so solid. I knew he was a smart player. I had a feeling he was going to be a solid NBA coach. And I know he was the coach of the Mavericks when the Warriors beat them. So what do you remember about Avery Johnson? I'll start with Steiny first.
All right. What I remember is he was the guard Weber's rookie year when they went to the playoffs. And Tim Hardaway was hurt. And that's why Avery Johnson played so much and became the starting point guard. But this, here's the funny thing. I'm looking at the box score from the game we're talking about in March. Listen to the starting lineup that Don Nelson threw out there. Latrell Sprewell, Chris Mullen, Billy Owens, Chris Weber, Chris Gatling. So that tells me he started the game with Billy Owens at point guard.
Yep.
I mean, I knew he liked to play Billy Owens at point forward, but Avery Johnson in this particular game we're talking about came off the bench.
Yep.
He came off the bench. So, you know, Avery Johnson was a pass-first point guard. Mm. I mean, he couldn't shoot at all. And a lot of people think that he, you know, Weber never played with Hardaway, but he should have.
Oh. What did Hardaway tear his ACL that year?
Yeah, remember, that was the year Hardaway tore his ACL. And Avery Johnson led the team, or, you know, was on the team. They won 50 games that year, Weber's rookie year. And Avery Johnson was a big time player on that Weber rookie year team.
I remember Keith went to the playoffs. Jennings. Didn't they have a guy named Keith Jennings on that roster who was another guard? He was a guard on that team as well. Maybe the next year, Keith Jennings. But when I think of Avery Johnson, I do remember his Warrior days. No doubt they made the playoffs and got swept by the Suns. But I remember him for making one of the biggest shots in the finals during the strike-shortened season when the Spurs won their first championship. I think he had the go-ahead jumper in Game 5 against the New York Knicks and helped in Game 5 at the Garden when it was a 2-3-2 format and helped the Spurs win their first championship, and Avery Johnson being the starting point guard on that team with Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, we all remember him as a coach of the Mavericks. If he had to get that end of the regular season game back, I'm sure he would. I'm absolutely sure he would. But Avery Johnson was, I mean, he made the most of his ability, no doubt about
it. Agreed. And you know what's funny is that I don't know what it is, but these lefties, they always stick out in your head. I know Sharunas, Chris Mullen, obviously Stacey Augmon, Avery Johnson. If you're left-handed, James Harden now, I feel like you have such a strategic advantage going up against a bunch of righties. I don't know why that is, but it always just looks unorthodox, and it always seems like you can get to your spots on the court when you're lefty.
Shasky, yep. It never helped me on the basketball court.
Well, you got to have athleticism to start with. You have to have a baseline here, Bonte. I mean, you got to have a baseline. Hey, one thing, though, about Avery Johnson, I get Steiny. Wasn't his free throw very particular? His left foot was in front of his right foot. He'd hold the ball out in front. And I remember him just dribbling at the top of the key, waiting for guys to come off of screens. Do I remember that right?
Yeah, basically. His foul shot was a little bit different. It felt like the ball was coming off the side of his hand a little bit. All right, so it's one. So the Warriors are down. Warriors are down one. It's time for the. So the Warriors need a hold in this game, right? Do we have any more? Do we have any more highlights?
No. Okay. I think that's it.
No, we do.
Now, okay. So let's set it up. Avery Johnson. This is just a random regular season game, March 22nd, 1994. Avery Johnson hits a jumper to cut the Orlando Magic lead to 116-115, and let's pick up the action there.
Call timeout, you just run it down. Wouldn't it be great to finish with a one-point win?
Weber steals the ball, recaptures a loose ball. It's Johnson. Johnson puts it up, it is no good. What a rebound, Owens scored! Owens scored, and the Warriors lead, 20 seconds to go.
Is that Steve Albert doing a play-by-play?
I think it is. I think it absolutely
Steve Albert,
is.
Shasky?
Yeah.
The KICU days. Wasn't that the 6:30?
That was Sports
days?
Channel. Well, no, that was a home game, so that game was probably on Sports Channel. And if you didn't have Sports Channel, home games would be blocked out. Now, the road games were definitely all on KICU Channel 36, Action 36, because I never didn't have cable TV, so didn't get the Sports Channel games when they were at home. Same thing with the Giants. When they were on Sports Channel, I wouldn't get the home games at home unless they had the random Friday night game on KTVU at Candlestick Park.
They'd give you like a freebie at the beginning of the year. That's what I remember Sports Channel used to do. Like, because you had to pay for the extra subscription on your cable package. And it was a total not. I mean, you got to think back then they didn't televise anything. I just remember that KICU era because whenever they were on the road, you know, 636, that was the channel.
But you had that channel though, right? Coming from that family money of yours?
I wish.
All right. So the Warriors are now up one, but they still need a stop in this game. Let's see what happens.
12.7 seconds. Billy Owens with the twister. Here's Turner. Into Scott. Scott with Mullen. Makes the move. 8 seconds. Puts it up. No! Weber rejects. Taken by Owens. 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1. It's over! What a comeback! And the Warriors win! Big argument at half court. Saying it was interference at the other end. Orlando is claiming interference. But look at this celebration. Popovich being hugged. Don Nelson must be going wild in the locker room right now.
Wow.
That is
so
great.
What is interference? What do you think he meant?
I have no clue.
No clue, because I'm not even at the front here.
Maybe the crowd came. Maybe the crowd. Funny thing is you heard he's like Greg Popovich celebrating Nelson. Don Nelson got thrown out of that game, ejected, and Greg Popovich took over. Now let me tell you what I know for a fact. I don't know when Don Nelson got thrown out of that game, but by the time it was over, he had had a few. There's no doubt about it. That's what he used to do. He used to go back into the locker room.
Devin's smoking some pot.
Well, not then, but he used to drink Miller Lights and just watch the rest of the game. So,
you know what, Steiny, you know whenever I think of the Orlando Magic and the Warriors, I always think of obviously their draft day trades of each other. But the other one that I always think of is the Shaq play where he's diving onto the ground and he's looking right, left, and he throws the ball over his shoulder was against the Warriors. I always think about that.
You know what, NBC on their highlight package when they would come in with the NBA on NBC – that was part of the montage when Shaq was diving in and it was against the Warriors. And I think Tolbert may have been trailing on that play. I'll never forget that. That's a great call, Shasky. Shaq fouled out of that game, by the way. Wow, look at this box score.
Shaq, yeah.
Was
Shaq
Donald Royal on that team?
Yep.
He was 0 for 4. He went 0 for 4 in 4 minutes. He was a Warrior. He played with the Warriors.
Yes!
Too.
Yes! He had a great name. Was he Notre Dame? Or was he was Big East Mondays? Was he Notre Dame?
Donald, I think he was Notre Dame. I think those Warriors bench Mondays. Was Warriors yeah, bench was Avery Dame. Johnson, yeah, Jeff Grayer, Dame. Jeff Grayer, Byron Houston, and Victor Alexander.
Byron Houston if with a little shave in the head.
Yeah, if you're wondering what we are talking about, we did what we're calling the Shasky Shuffle, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Shasky with a chest full of pro sports cards, baseball cards, basketball cards. Baseball cards. He's going to reach in to that chest every day this week with Guru gone, pull out a card, and we're going to revisit a little bit of history. So Avery Johnson,
did you guys
picked
like
out
that?
Today. I do like that.
No, I do like it a lot. And that's funny because the card market has just died, right? It has just died. And my mom, my mom works at a thrift store, St. Paul de Vincent, so she gave me a few packs of cards that are still in the plastics. They're in my storage right now. But I got to shout out my old high school buddy, Shelly Kim. Recently, about a year ago, we go over to Rich Reed Republic down the street, and she's like, Bonte, I have all these cards. And that's where my Twitter profile pic came from. We're at Rich Reed Republic on a Friday night, just going, and she had bins of these cards. It was unbelievable. Had Kim Olajuwon, she had Ricky Henderson. I mean, she had some studs in there and in perfect condition. So hopefully the card market picks back up, because that was a big thing as a kid, where you didn't want the tips bent.
Yeah.
You didn't want the corners bent because right. of the lose value. You wanted to – you had to – end of your top priority cards had its own plastic. They were standalones by itself, the hologram cards. So this is fun, Chasky. I like this a lot.
Chris
so a couple
Weber
of years back. Oh, well, let me thanks, Steiny.
Yeah, no, just quick throw some numbers in here because they're sticking. Chris Weber was 10 for 12 from the field that night, 25. Billy Owens was 9 for 11. So Billy Owens went 9 for 11. Chris Weber, 10 for 12.
Plus
shot 55%.
Plus the game winner for Billy Owens. Where does that rank on all-time clutch shots in NBA history?
It was an all-star game.
You know Billy Owens? He does back. Have a moment. You know Billy Owens, his biggest moment to me, I'll never forget it, a KICU game down at the L.A. Sports Arena. I believe Billy Owens hit a half-court shot to send a game to overtime against the Clippers. He or maybe it was at the end of the third quarter, but he banked in a half-court shot. I'll never forget that with Billy Owens. That's probably his one highlight with the Golden State Warriors.
His highlight is being attached to Mitch Richmond. I mean,
yeah,
really
I know
agree.
That.
I mean, that's probably his number one highlight. I was going to say,
guys,
he was okay. He was ambidextrous around the rim. I remember that. He could finish with both hands.
Great
he
left
was a really
hand.
Good player. Yeah, he was really good.
He's considered. He's considered the greatest. Certainly one of the greatest high school. I mean, Kobe, but. Billy Owens considered maybe the greatest high school player in Pennsylvania history because he won four straight quad A state titles with Carlisle. And so he started as a freshman on the varsity. They won the state in the biggest class in Pennsylvania. They won it his ninth, tenth. They won. He was 20-0 in 4 years of high school basketball playoffs. But you like this, Chasky. You probably know this. You know who Billy Owens' teammate was in high school?
No.
On his basketball teammate, Lee Woodall. Lee
what?
Woodall.
Wow.
Yeah.
54 looked just like Evander Holyfield. We were talking about him the other night. Oh yeah.
Lee
goodness.
Woodall. And they had a guy named Jeff Lebo who went to North Carolina. It was a great, great player.
Wow. What
yeah.
a world.
Yeah, Lee Woodall. We were talking about it the other day, Steiny, where Gary Plummer, it was a Sunday night. It was my first ever 49ers game. I was 15 years old. Sunday night football, Niners-Bills at the stick. And Gary Plummer at the goal line. Bills are going in to score. Gary Plummer smacks. I think the running back was Kenneth Davis or somebody. I forget who the running back was. And then Lee Woodall scoops it up and scores for like 96 yards for a go-ahead touchdown.
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
good.
Steiny, who did you grow up liking? Because this is how this whole thing started. When I bought my house a couple years back, I started going through all these, like, I had like a storage shed that my wife didn't know that I had. And I started going through all my stuff. And she was like, well, this stuff is not allowed in my house. So I started packing certain things up and bringing them to my parents. And my parents were like, no, we're not taking any of your crap. You have your own place now. But you need to come get this treasure chest of cards because I thought I had lost it. So I started going through the treasure chest and we were going through everything. And then Damon Bruce had some of his health issues and he was in the hospital. I said, let me do something fun for him so because he's going to be laid up. And I laid out all the cards as best I could. And I tried to pick out all the Cubs and the Bears and the Bulls that I didn't want to keep. And I gave them to him, you know, because I don't really care about the Bears or the Cubs or the Bulls. So if you tell me what teams you like from that era, the 80s and the 90s, I'll give you a whole box of cards and you can go through them. And it's just fun just looking at some of the names that you come across. It just all these different memories.
I mean, honestly, I mean, the Yankees were my favorite team in the 70s and 80s. But, like, I played Strat-O-Matic baseball. So, I knew everybody's name on everybody's team.
That's how I was.
I mean, I really was. Like, you know, I know the Reds lineup and the Big Red Machine. That's an easy one. But like then you go to the Tigers and I can still remember like six or seven of their starters, you know. Jim Northrup, Ron LaFleur. You know what I mean? You start playing that game and it's just kind of fun. So yeah, any baseball card, any work for me. Because I'm sure I'll know or remember the name. Their chief operating officer, gentleman named Kevin Demoff,
yep.
He came out the other day and said, we ain't changing this new logo, so get used to it. So don't even think about it. We're not going to go. I saw the negative reaction, and this is kind of what you were talking about, Joe, and I'm with you. if you look on Twitter, you would think everybody hates it. You know what I mean? They were exactly. making fun of the Rams logo. They were turning it into jokes. And I said to Bonte, and I said, you know what? And this is where Twitter stinks, is I bet you they're going to do something. They'll change the logo. But I'm actually kind of glad they didn't, because I do agree with you that the Twitter reaction is, it's not the real reaction. It's like an exaggerated reaction. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the Rams logos are staying, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rams head. The Rams head is pretty cool. I just don't like the LA with the little. It looks too much like the lightning bolt. Yeah. And it's just like, why do you need to change it? I mean, go back to the 80s or even the 70s with the Merlin Olsen, the Deacon Jones, the blue and white helmets. Like, some teams don't need to change. Like the Steelers, they never need to change. The Packers never need to change. The Raiders never need to change. The Niners never need to change. I don't know why they went to the Maroons, and we argued about that Friday. But the Rams never really have to change. And it's just like, it just seems like a ploy to get more money, to sell more T-shirts or to sell more hats.
Bonte, you're missing the whole point. It's rebranding. The team moved to St. Louis. They changed their logo in St. Louis. They went with a dark blue, and they went with that gold trim. And now they're rebranding themselves in Southern California.
You've been
and
in it's LA not about, for 4 years. Rebrand so when you not, move.
No, you rebrand with the new stadium. It makes total sense. Yeah, you're going to unveil this brand new stadium with these brand new uniforms. And even if the uniforms remain somewhat the same, it's not about pitching it to us. It's about pitching it to my nephews and nieces who are about that demographic and about that age. And they think it's a fly look. Like, they love it. They think it's a great looking new logo. They don't care about the Chargers.
I hear you. I hear you with the whole rebranding thing, but rebrand with the originals. Rebrand with the things that really makes the Rams. Like when people said the Rams moved to L.A. or moved back to L.A., they were like, man, when they bring out those blue and yellows, oh, it brings us back to Eric Dickerson. It brings us back to Jim Everett. It teaches our kids the history of the L.A. Rams. So keep the history the same. Keep it the same with the logo. The whole I get the rebrand thing. You want to go into the new stadium with the bang and this and that. But come back with the same logo. You don't need to rebrand it and change it with this L.A. font. It looks cheap. It looks lazy. It looks like
it's
LA. We could have created it on our – it looks like we could have created it on our MacBook Air. That's all.
Well, make me some logos then, man. I mean, if that's the way it is. But isn't L.A. a transient place to begin with? So why would you want to go super old school? Like, it's not steeped in history. That's what the Dodgers are. It's not steeped in championships, which that's what the Lakers are. Like, they have to carve out their own niche. There's like 17 professional teams in Southern California. They've got to differentiate themselves some way. And if you want to sell new stuff, you got to have new gear. I get it.
For the 707 out there, he says he's got a Rocky Colavito baseball card for me. Wow, thank you. No charge. Jeez. All right, you hold on to that till we get back in the building. Then, wow, thank you. Appreciate it,
707. Do you have any no-interest loans out there on the text line?
Oh, man, not that I
– Real quick on Billy Owens, did he win four – I'm looking at Billy Owens. During the break, you guys started talking – you know, we brought up Billy Owens. So during the break, I just started looking at the Billy Owens highlight package. Yes, that exists on YouTube.
Hell
yeah,
it does.
Billy Owens highlight reel. But he wins four state championships in high school?
Correct. That's correct.
Jeez.
And he started as a freshman. And it's the biggest class in Pennsylvania. It wasn't like – you know, it wasn't the small enrollment schools. In fact, here's another little tidbit for you. He broke the record for points in a high school final. He had 53 or 55. I can't remember. Wow. His senior year, he was a really good player at Syracuse. He just wasn't a killer. You know,
was he
just
with
wasn't
Derek
a
Coleman?
Killer. Was he with Derek Coleman? See, this is where I'm bad. I'm not great at the overlaps.
Shasky, I think he was. Well, I'm going to look it up here, but he may have been with Derek Coleman there. I'm going to look it up right now. I think Ronnie Cicely may have left because Billy Owens showed up.
DJ Cicely?
Yeah, DJ Cykley. The year after they lost to Indiana in the championship. So I think he was gone. I'm going to look it up here, College Reference. That's what's so good about the internet here. Syracuse team, 88-89. Box score, hey, just in this case, you know me. Come on, man. Don't test me. Derek Coleman did play with Billy Owens. Derek Coleman was a junior. Billy O was a freshman. Wow. Sherman Douglas on that team, too. Sherman Douglas. Remember Sherman Douglas?
Absolutely.
Guard. Wow.
Remember him as a Celtic. And also remember Sherman Douglas was one of the greatest. He could throw an alley-oop as good as any guard ever has. He was great at it. The other thing is Derek Coleman, he was a great college player.
Oh. I thought he'd be great with the 76ers with Barkley.
Yeah, Joe, here's the kind of thing you're missing by not having the text line. You ready? Hey, Steinmetz, I challenge you to Top Golf. The loser has to pay the loser has to pay the winner $1,000. I would destroy you. Well, then why in the hell would I play you?
Have you done Top Golf?
No, I've heard it's fun though. My God.
It is fun, but like from a golfing standpoint, it could not be more different. You're using these flimsy graphite shafted clubs with these giant offset heads, and it's hard to control the club if you play regular golf. It's a lot of fun. It's very, very different. And yes, you can lose to your wife, for example, who does not play golf in Top Golf easily.
But you talk about hashtag random. What a random text to challenge somebody at Top Golf out of nowhere. We talked golf like 3 hours ago. And it's just such a random text just out of nowhere. Stardy, Top Golf, loser has to pay $1,000. Like, what?
Now, interesting, it's coming from the 954. Where's that?
No clue.
954. This is where Nash is good.
That's Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Wow.
Maybe they're using the rewind feature on the radio.com.
That's true. Hey, that's true. Kyle brings up a great point that they may just be using the rewind feature on the app, they're just starting to listen to the show right now. And let me take that opportunity to remind you how easy it is to download the radio.com app so you can take us anywhere. Here's all you got to do. Download the radio.com app. You go to the apps and you search for radio.com. You find it. You search for 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites, and then you don't have to miss a second when you're in the car or at work or at home. And this is the big one. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There is one thing I definitely wanted to also talk about. We may spin the wheel of fun one time. There's a great movie out there that Kyle Madsen, our producer, saw for the first time this weekend, and I'd like to talk to him about it. And the movie is Hoop Dreams.
Oh,
Hoop Dreams. Kyle has seen Hoop Dreams for the first time.
If you guys saw the list of movies, I have a spreadsheet of movies that I haven't seen that I need to see, you'd be appalled. And
I wouldn't.
Yeah, and Hoop Dreams was definitely on there. My girlfriend had to watch it for a class she's taking at ASU. And I watched it with her, and it was fantastic. I don't know why it took me so long to get to it. It was a wonderful film.
William Gates.
Wow. Give me some details. Why'd you think it was wonderful?
It was just so well, because it started out, it was supposed to be like a 30-minute PBS documentary about street ball in Chicago, and then it blossomed into this three-hour documentary. I liked the fact that they spent so much time on the kids outside of school and how they were impacted kind of by the system.
Yeah, but then, it was incredible that way.
Yeah, and just, I knew that those guys didn't go on to be these big superstars, but I was so enthralled by their high school careers, and not just the game to game, because they go over kind of each game, but how that game was going to impact them moving forward. Like, I wanted William, when he was floating in a game and they were talking about how he hadn't really established himself, I'm like, William, come on, Marquette's watching.
Yeah, exactly.
I was so into it.
Well, the thing that I think was like the exclamation point was, by staying with it the whole time, it ended up the opposite of what you thought it was going to be.
Yes.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, you know, Arthur, who went to this public high school, and, you know, He ended up going downstate, which is what you want to do in high school basketball. It's when you play at the University of Illinois in like their Final Four,
right.
and Gates, they got upset early, I think. But like his relationship with that coach was a horse's behind. I believe he's passed since then. I didn't like Coach Ping.
Yeah, man. The fact that at the end he was like, man, I wish we would have kept you. It's like, you could have.
Exactly.
You could have.
Exactly.
But you chose not to. That was really infuriating. I was rooting super hard for Arthur the whole time. His life story was pretty tragic.
Yeah.
And to see him come out of that and reach kind of the near pinnacle of high school basketball was really, really cool.
The other thing I couldn't stand about that coach, Pingator, I think his name was.
Yeah.
All he was about was, I coached Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
I coached Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas didn't, and he played well for me. I coached Isaiah Thomas. And that pipe, I wanted to stick that pipe where the sun don't shine. And there's your drop. And you know what? How about, you know, and since, in honor of Guru, since Guru's not here, don't you think, aren't people that smoke pipes just a little different? Just a little bit.
You think?
Yes or no?
I'm different.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just a little bit different.
People that smoke pipes, and talking tobacco, because of tobacco pipes.
Sure,
I put them in the same category as bow tie guy. Why? Why are you wearing a bow tie? You don't need to wear a bow tie. You're doing it to be a jackass and to make you be the center of attention. You look ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Bow tie guy and pipe smoking guy, I put in the exact same category.
That is whack.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I mean, if you start thinking that, I mean, if you want to establish an identity with a bow tie or something like that, go with a monocle. Go with something like a monocle or an eye patch.
I got this from OJ.
Exactly.
That's why I don't like Ken Rosenthal. I call him the bow tie guy. He's ridiculous.
That's right.
He's like 4'1". He's in the dugout. Hi, I'm Ken Rosenthal, and I'm wearing a bow tie to show you that I'm smarter and more sophisticated than you are.
Doesn't he have a different bow tie for like different charities?
Oh, of course he does, because he does such God's work. You know, Ken Rosenthal, better than all of us. Big J journalism, breaking all of these stories from the dugout.
Leave Kenny alone, Shasky.
No,
he drives Kenny alone, man. Leave him alone.
Clearly, if you feel that way about Rosenthal, you've got to feel that way about, or had felt that way about Craig Sager.
Craig Sager... And the outfits, he was authentic to himself. It started in the 70s. He was on the sidelines when Hank Aaron did his thing, and that was acceptable attire. My dad wore a freaking baby blue puff, big blazer, you know, suit to his own wedding with a mustache and hair longer than my mother's. So
you know, I'm
that was
one.
Kind of the look in the 70s. I'll give him a pass.
But I will say the bow tie thing, that it bugged me because it just became a thing out of nowhere. Like, and I just thought bow ties you wore them to like proms or balls. That was the only time I've ever worn a bow tie. And it wasn't even a real bow tie. It was from, what was our famous tuxedo store that everybody went to out here, Shasky? I forget what it was, but it was a bow tie.
I wore a bow tie to prom.
Right.
Was it Celix's over there on Celix's. Market Street?
Celix's,
yeah,
exactly.
On
it was
Market
Celix's.
Street.
Everybody went to Celix to rent their tux out. And you had the shiny black shoes, and then you'd take them back after prom. But like, I never got the whole bow tie fascination. I really didn't get it at all. And whether you do it for charity or not, that's one thing. But it just became a thing, Steiny, out of nowhere. And it was just like, why would you wear a bow tie? Like, guys started wearing bow ties at a club and stuff. It was really weird.
See, there's
you got to be. It's tough to pull off a bow tie. You better. And you know what?
I'm different.
You ain't gonna win anybody over in a hurry. You go to the bow tie. You better be willing to stick with it. Is what I'm saying too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if you don't stick with it, then you're just gonna be laughed at not only for wearing a bow tie, but for not being able to stick it out.
Does Ratto have a very similar connotation with the sweater? Like when you think of Ray Ratto, do you automatically think of giant sweater?
Yeah, I think a sweater and a hooded sweatshirt. See,
Swagalicious.
When Ray goes out to do, you know, if Ray's out at the game, he'll wear a sweater. But when he's been coming into the studio, he goes with Ray's got a great assortment of gear, actually.
Underrated.
His hat
game
is very underrated.
His hat game is legit.
Swagalicious.
The best thing in his repertoire is the mint chocolate chip colored pants. Those, I think, are my favorite.
Well, it looked like the what do they call them in the hospital? The little hospital pads that the doctors and nurses
scrubs?
Wear. Scrubs. There you go, scrubs. It looks like scrubs. Like that. I'm not
the old
with
Vancouver
those.
Grizzly colors.
Yeah, I'm not with the
I kind of like those. Carmelo just hit a three against the Bulls with 11 seconds to go. Wow. So there's a big shot from Carmelo.
You see Baron Davis wearing number 85 in that game with the Knicks?
No, I didn't.
Fire.
He's got a big butt.
So how long ago was that? Like 10 years maybe?
Probably 2012, yeah.
Okay.
Steiny,
okay.
Did he fall off faster than you thought? Like, we all knew that Baron was going to get hefty in L.A., but did he fall off even quicker than you thought? Because I'm going to admit, I thought he had like 5 good years left. I don't even know if he had 2 good years left in him after he left the Warriors.
Nope. And if you look back at his career, the year, his best year was the We Believe year with the Warriors.
100%.
It was his best year. And it, like, he had good years at Charlotte, but if you look at his playoffs in the We Believe series, they were incredible. He shot over 50% from the field in 11 games, and he was a kind of a volume guy. I mean, he could be a volume guy. He shot low 40s for the regular season, but
I don't think I don't think he ever averaged more than 15 points a game with the Clippers. But you know what? I thought, honestly, I'm in the minority here. I thought Baron Davis, that was his peak with the We Believe.
I didn't think
he was going to ever get that.
Absolutely.
I didn't think, even during the time when he signed with the Clippers, because I remember at UCLA he tore his knee up. He crossed somebody over. It was a second-round game against Michigan. He crossed somebody up over on a baseline, dunked it, and tore his knee up. And I always thought, even with the We Believe team, he had all this gear on. Like, remember when he dunked on Kirilenko, he pulls out his jersey?
Yeah.
He had, like, a back brace on, a rib protector, knee braces. I thought he was already wearing down. So even when the Warriors didn't – when he did go to the Clippers, I wasn't that irate because I thought
seriously,
honest to God, because I thought, boy, if you pay him this money, how can he hold up? Because you knew he wasn't going to give you 82 games. Can you get to the playoffs and will he be healthy? I thought he was damn near damaged goods. Like, when the We Believe team happened, I was like, man, this is a blast or the past. I kid you not. I watched his entire career. I was a big Baron Davis guy when he played with Earl Watson at UCLA. Ray Young was on that team. Matt Barnes was later on that team. I did not think he was going to age well. I did not. I really didn't.
If you weren't devastated when Baron Davis left, I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. I was more devastated. I was more devastated with
Baron
Jay Rich.
Davis for Corey Maggette.
That was
Baron Davis for Corey Maggette.
I already thought the magic was gone with that group of Monte Ellis and Baron and Stack Jack. For me, I was more devastated with Jay Rich being traded for Brandon Wright that offseason right after We Believe. And yeah, I know they won 48 games the next season. They didn't get to the playoffs, but I just thought it wasn't the same. And once they traded Jay Rich, I was just like, well, whatever happens after this is going to happen. It's going to be the typical Warriors. So I was more devastated personally with Jay Rich being traded than Baron Davis leaving to the Clippers, because I knew Baron Davis was into the movies. He was into Hollywood. He was from L.A. You know, from L.A. So it was just like, all right, whatever. You know,
see, I remember it a little different. And I here's the way I remember it. I remember it, so the Warriors do the We Believe thing, and Baron's huge. And then the next year, obviously they won 48 games. They're right there until the last two games of the year. But here's the crazy thing. That year after, 2007, 2008, Baron played 82 games. He played every game that year. Well, he started the Phoenix game. That's why he played all 82, but he didn't play in the second half of that second-to-last game of the year. Anyway, his contract situation at that point was he had a player option for, I want to say, 18, something big. And, you know, not a lot of teams had money. And I just remember the Warriors were like, you think Baron's going to opt out? And they were like, yeah, right. Like, he's going to walk away from 18. And he walked away from 18 because the Clippers gave him 4 years. And it just, there is absolutely no, you want to talk about taking a franchise by surprise.
Thank you. I was
shocked. That took the Warriors by surprise. And Barron left.
If I remember correctly, Monte Ellis and Biadrins were coming up on contract extensions. Biadrins was playing so good with Barron. He would just catch the ball right at the paint, right near the hoop. I mean, Barron set him up so well. And the year prior, because Jay Rich broke his wrist, Monte was awesome off the bench and came out of nowhere. And I just remember that team was in a weird place financially. They tried to swing the deal for Amari Stoudemire. There was rumors of Kevin Garnett. They never really consummated any of those trades. And they went from Baron Davis to, we have all this money. Let's get Corey Maggette in here. Right. And it was like, are you kidding me, Corey Maggette?
It was like to sign somebody just to sign somebody, to say that you signed somebody and spent some money. And actually, KG was on the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Stat Jacket. They talked about that. And they said, KG, do you remember the trade talks? And KG was like, yeah, I know. It was the Lakers. It was the Phoenix Suns. It was the Celtics and the Warriors. Now, Steve Nash called KG and said, look, we're going to have to trade Amari. You're going to have to take a pay cut. Do you want to do that? And KG was like, going out west, playing with just Steve Nash, I'm good. He wanted to play with Kobe. Apparently, Kobe didn't pick up the phone in time, but he wanted to be a Laker. Now, he looked at Matt Barnes and Stag Jack, and he said, look, man, I liked you guys. It looked like you guys were having a lot of fun. I may have been too serious for you guys. So, no, I wasn't really trying to go to State. But that's the thing about Barron. I know that he played the 82 games, and the way it ended in Phoenix that last game of the season and knowing that there was an option, something weird with that contract, I was like, man, I think we've seen the best of Barron. I just felt like we had seen the best of Barron and he was never going to really be in shape to really be a leader for your franchise. I just thought, was I mad that he left? Sure. But for me, it was more devastating to see Jay Rich traded right there on draft night, knowing that they had just ran the league, made it to the second round. I was like, dude, don't you want to run it back for a full season with this squad? Like that's why I was a little more devastated about Jay Rich. I just thought Barron, man, we were lucky to get those 82 games. Seriously, man, because of all the injuries that he had incurred early in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely banged up, and his body had to be right for him to play. He was one of these guys who, like, it just felt like he had to be administered to before every game. And he had to stretch him out right, and he had to do this right, and he had to wear that piece of equipment and his lower back. But when he was like, hey, I feel pretty good, I mean, he was electric. Barron Davis was electric. And he was also – I mean, he was also charismatic. He was, man, the Bay Area loved him. He was a little bit of he had a little rebel in him, but the reason Barron Davis was like, he had some rebel in him, but he was still very businesslike, and business is business, and we're here to make money, and what kind of opportunities can I take advantage of now that I'm in the NBA? Like, he was kind of ahead of his time with that kind of stuff, with kind of the Hollywood angle, if you will.
Steiny, when he got traded for Dale Davis and Speedy Clankston, yes, I call him Clankston, that was one of the greatest swindle jobs of all time because he was on the skirts with New Orleans. They were the Hornets at the time. He had that game winner the year before in the playoffs. I love Barron Davis. I was a huge Barron Davis. I was shocked by that trade. And if I remember, I don't even know if Dale Davis reported to the Hornets. I think they might have just cut him outright. And then Mike Montgomery, I just remember Mike Montgomery getting – Barron Davis, and it's like, Mike Montgomery, there's no way in hell he's coaching Barron Davis. Yeah, they're going to have to make a move here. And I remember Fitz coming onto the radio that day, and Fitz was like, we traded for Barron Davis. The happiest I've ever heard Fitz that day in my life.
Why? I mean, it was big because he was a star. I mean, he was a diva at that time, but... And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Weber,
tendencies.
Kevin Garnett saying, yeah, I wasn't trying to play with you guys in Golden State, but, like, he didn't have any clout. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, Weber didn't want to play in Sac, but you get him in there and you try to win him over, and I'm sure that's what Chris Mullin was trying to do with KG, saying, I don't care if he wants to be here or not. I get him in here, and I get him to stay. You know, that's part of the trade, you know, so... but yeah, it was crazy time back then.
I can't believe the Warriors were able to get Barron Davis. Now that I think about it, and thinking that's when college basketball was really big and Barron was balling. I can't believe they ended up with Baron Davis. Boy, he's special.
All right.
Best I've ever seen on a point guard.
Baron Davis, let's leave it there.
Baron Williams.
That's gonna do it for BS and G.
Simon, you're doing a great
Gabe
job.
Kapler. Gabe Kapler, 2:30 with Damon Ratto and Kolsky next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.